All right, Jamal, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf Chof Beis, Amud Aleph, and we're actually starting with daf of Chof Beis, Amud Aleph. All right, so we begin with the episode quote in the Mishnah. Ma'aseh sha'abu yosem me'arba'im zug. The Ikban Rabbi Akiva Balor. So remember, the Mishnah spoke about the idea that witnesses are supposed to go ahead and come to Yerushalayim, and they're even permitted to Mechal Shabbos, even if the moon is clearly visible. So the Gemara, actually, at least according to one opinion. So the Gemara, then the Mishnah quotes the story that there were more than 40 sets of witnesses that were passing through Lud, and Rabbi Akiva held them back. Rabbi Akiva held them back. It must have been a case where the moon was clearly visible. And as such, Rabbi Akiva felt that there was really no need for these witnesses to be Mechal Shabbos any further. So the Mishnah records that Rabbi Gamliel sent word to Rabbi Akiva, and he said, if you're going to do this, it turns out that you are placing a stumbling block in front of, for future situations. People are going to stop coming. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Chas v'shalom sh'Rabbi Akiva ikva. No, it was not Rabbi Akiva who held the witnesses back. Ella sh'zefer rosh shagoder. Rather, it was Shezefer. We'll say Rashi points out Shezefer is the name of the guy. Shezefer was the head of the Gader, the city of Gader. See, he was the one who held them back. The Shalach Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel sent word about what Shezefer did, that it was wrong, and as a result, Vahoriduhu Migdulaso. They took Shezefer down from his position. Okay, says the Mishnah. Av Ubno Shero Esachodesh. This is an interesting case. Let's say you have a father and son that together see the new moon. So father and son witness the celestial event together. Yelchu, they should go. Lo shem itstarf in ze im ze, not because they connect with one another to form a testimonial unit. Remember, what the Mishnah is focusing on over here is that, remember, relatives cannot go ahead and testify against each other or with each other. So the idea of it is, let's say you have a father, remember, we're going to discuss now that you need two witnesses for the new moon. So let's say again, you have a father and son who see the new moon together. So the Mishnah says they should go together to Yerushalayim. Lo shem itstarf in ze im ze, not because they connect to form a testimonial unit, elo shemipasol echad mehem yitstarif hasheni im acher. But remember, we'll see that there was a rigorous examination of the witnesses for Kiddush HaChodesh purposes. So it was possible that someone would become disqualified, not because they were lying, not because they weren't telling the truth, but because perhaps, again, they couldn't answer the detailed questions of the Beis Din. So therefore, again, you want the father and son to come, not because they could form a unit, but because, again, perhaps they can go ahead and connect with someone else. It might be that, let's say, another group of two showed up, and that group of two, one of the members of that group got disqualified. Obviously, again, both the members of the father and groups that are not fit for a testimonial unit together. So you can mix and match witnesses. Therefore, essentially what we want is, we want the greatest number of witnesses possible to show up at Yerushalayim, because that increases the probability that indeed we will be able to get a proper testimonial unit. Reb Shimon says, Av ubno, on the other hand, also Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon says, no, in fact, a father and son, are, and even all relatives, are in fact fit to give testimony for Kiddush HaChodesh. So we'll say, again, according to the Tanakhama holds that the testimony for the new moon is no different than any other testimony. And just like for regular testimony, again, father, son, relatives cannot combine to form a testimonial unit, so too, again, by Kiddush HaChodesh, Reb Shimon fundamentally disagrees. Reb Shimon says, no, in fact, a father and son are permitted to give testimony for Eidus HaChodesh. We'll see why that is. Rabbi Yossi says, Ma'aseh b'tuvya harofe. There was an episode with Tuvya, the doctor, Shera'a es HaChodesh b'Yushalayim hu ubino v'avdo m'shukhra. So we'll say, I start with Tuvya, the doctor. He saw the new moon in Yerushalayim, him, his son, and his emancipated servant. And I will say, his emancipated servant, Avdo Meshuchror, essentially is a Jew. Is a Jew. Is a Jew. V'kiblu ha-kohanim, osove espino. And the Kohanim, I will say, we'll discuss this actually later on, there was a Beis Din of Kohanim also in Yerushalayim. So the Kohanim accepted Tuvya and his son, Upaslo es Avdo, but they would not accept the testimony of his Eved. U'kishaba'u lifnei Beis Din, when they came before Beis Din, Kiblu Oso Ve'es Avdo, the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, accepted the testimony of Tuvya, his emancipated servant, upaslu esbino, but they would not accept the testimony of his son. See, interestingly enough, I'm a machlok kusatina, but they didn't. Okay, so says the Gemara. Amar Rav Levi, my time with Rav Shimon. What's Rav Shimon's logic? Dichsiv, because again, the pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Remember, Rav Shimon is the opinion in the Mishnah who says that an av ubno, father and son, as well as all relatives, are permitted to give testimony for Kiddush HaChodesh, which Rav Osei, of course, you understand, makes Kiddush HaChodesh a testimonial anomaly, meaning under normal circumstances and all other situations, relatives cannot combine to form a testimonial unit. Yet Rav Shimon says, here you can. So the Gemara says, why? According to Rav Shimon, why is Kiddush HaChodesh different than any other case? Listen to this. So, Dichsiv, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe ve'al Aaron bi'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Because Rav Levi says that what? Remember, where was Kiddush HaChodesh given over? It was given over in Mitzrayim to Moshe and Aaron. What does God say? God says to Moshe and Aaron, while they're standing in the land of Egypt, this month is for you, the first of all months. So Rav Levi darshins, Eidus zu te kshera b'chem. That interestingly enough, what the Gemara is saying, what the Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying is, this testimony will be kosher with you. What does that mean? Now, remember, who is God giving over? Who is God giving over the testimony of Kiddush HaChodesh to? Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron are brothers. So Rav Levi says, what do you see from here? That when it comes to the Kiddush HaChodesh, Kiddush HaChodesh could even be done by brothers. Okay. So the Gemara says, Rashi says, we are take Shera Bachem, the Afapi She'at Shehim Achim. Even though you are brothers, nevertheless, technically speaking, you would both be fit to go ahead and give over this testimony of Kiddush HaChodesh. V'Rabbanan, what do the rabbis say about this? They say, Eidos Zu Tehim Mesura Lachem. They say what? They say, L'maisa, this testimony is given over to you. Now, what does it mean to be given over to you? Look at Rashi. Tehim Mesura Lachem. L'chashuvi Hadar Ani Moser, She'ekablu Ha'edis V'ikachu HaChodesh, V'lahach She'krovim Ba. So we'll say, again, on the other hand, the Rabbanan understand that when God says to Moshe and Aaron, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, what he's saying is like this. Whereas certain matters of law can be decided by local, regional Batei Din, when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, that can only be decided by the Beis Din HaGodol in Yerushalayim. That's what it means when he says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, just like you, Moshe and Aaron, are the ranking sages of your generation, so too, it is only the ranking sages of the generation that could decide the declaration of the new month. So we'll say, a fundamental machlokes, it's such a fascinating machlokes, as to how to dash in this pasuk, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Aaron, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. When God gives over the new month, the Kiddush HaChodesh to Moshe and Aaron, what is he giving over? Rabbi Levi, who is reflected in the view of Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon will say, Lochem means God is literally saying to Moshe and to Aaron, I'm giving over this month to you, meaning that you, brothers, can testify about this particular month, that even relatives can go ahead and testify about this month. The Rabbanan say, no, what he's saying is the declaration of the new month can only be made by people, lachem, by ultimately the chashuv, the gedoli hadar, and cannot be made by local batei din. Well, it's just you should know, the Rambam paskins, like the Tanakhama in the Mishnah, not like Rabbi Shimon, that even by Kiddush HaChodesh, again, we do not accept a testimonial unit made up of relatives. However, again, we do accept the position at the beginning of the Mishnah, which is that if a father and son do see the new moon, we tell them to go, even though what? Even though they can't testify together, but perhaps they will be able to join with another individual to create a testimonial unit for Kiddush HaChodesh. So again, we encourage them to go, but they themselves cannot form a testimonial unit. So the Gemara goes weiter. Am Rabbi Yossi, Maisa b'Tovi HaRofe. Rabbi Yossi says there was a story with Tovi HaRofe. What happened with Tovi HaRofe? Am Rav Chanan bar Rava, Hilchasa k'Rav Shimon. Supposed to listen to this. Rav Chanan bar Rava said, the halacha follows Rav Shimon. Okay, now remember, Rav Shimon just got finished saying, what did Rav Shimon say in the Mishnah? That a father and son may testify together about Kiddush HaChodesh. They may form a testimonial unit. Amar li Rav Huna l'Rav Chanan bar Rava, Rabbi Yossi umaisa va'at amrit hilchasa k'Rav Shimon. The Rabbi said, so this is a very strange statement. So on one hand, you have Rav Chanan bar Rava saying, the halacha follows Rav Shimon. Now, understand what happened in the Mishnah. The Mishnah quoted the Tanakhama, first opinion, that said again, father and son cannot form a testimonial unit. Then the Mishnah quoted Rav Shimon. Then the Mishnah quoted Rabbi Yossi, who quoted a Maisa, right? And what do we learn from the Maisa? What do we learn from the Maisa? That that a father and son cannot form a testimony, even though the Beis Din of Kohanim accepted the father and son, the Beis Din HaGadol did not, and therefore again, from the story of Tuvia, his son and his emancipated servant, it seems to support the position of the Tanakhama, namely, that a father and son cannot form a testimonial unit. So now you have Rav Chanan bar Rava come along and say, the halach follows Rav Shimon. Says Rav Huna, says Rav Chanan bar Abba, what are you talking about? Rav Yossi, Umaysa, Va'at Amr Tilchusak Rav Shimon. Says Rav Chanan, what are you doing? How can you say the halach follows Rav Shimon? First of all, there's another opinion in the Mishnah Tanakhama. Second of all, Rabbi Yossi quotes a Maisa. Now, also, I understand a Maisa also is very significant in the formulation of halacha, because whereas statement of opinions happens in an abstract, a Maisa tells you what actually occurred on the ground. So Rabbi Yossi quotes a Maisa that doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon, that supports the first view in the Mishnah. How can you say the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon? So listen to this. This is so interesting. Amar lo, so Rabbi Chanan said, listen, v'hazimnin sagiyin amris kamei drav, so comes along. So Rav Chanan says, listen, I said over this halacha many times in front of Rav, and I told him that the halacha follows Rav Shimon, and Rav never objected. Now, the fact that I stated many times that the halacha follows Rav Shimon in front of Rav, and Rav never said anything, indicates that what? That Rav agrees with that position that the halacha follows Rav Shimon. So listen to this, it's very interesting. So Rav Huna says to him, Amarle, Hechi Tanis, tell me, Rav Chanan, when you said the halacha follows Rav Shimon, what exactly did you say Rav Shimon says? What did you say was the position of Rav Shimon? So Rav Chanan understands, oh, Amarle, Ipcha. Oh, he said, oh yeah, that's right. I actually reversed the positions as they're stated in the Mishnah. Meaning, again, that when I said the halacha follows Rav Shimon, I actually quoted Rav Shimon as saying that a father and son do not form a testimonial unit. So Rav Huna says, Shkoyach. Amar lei, Mishum hachi lo amar lecha velo midi. That's why Rav never corrected you. Because Rav Osai, again, the fact that sometimes different opinions are attributed to different people, that happens. But the reason why Rav never corrected you is because Lemaisa, the bottom line halacha was correct. You were stating Rav Shimon as holding that a father and son do not form a testimonial unit. That happens to be the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama in our Mishnah. Rav Shimon in our Mishnah says the opposite. So Rav never corrected you because even though you were attributing the opinion to the wrong name, it was the correct opinion. That at the end of the day, halacha Lemaisa, father and son do not form a testimonial unit. So again, when Rav Chanan bar Rava comes along, the halacha follows Rav Shimon, he's really agreeing with what we said before, which is a father and son do not form a testimonial unit. He's just attributing that opinion to Rav Shimon. Amar Tavi, Berei Demari Tavi. Omar Okva. So we'll say Tavi, the son of Demari Tavi said, name Mar Okva. Amar Shmuel, Hilchasak Rav Shimon. Now we'll say, this is another strange exchange. So now, understand, so now we just got finished saying that the halacha, even Rav Chanan who said the halacha follows Rav Shimon, really didn't mean the halacha follows Rav Shimon. I mean, he meant the halacha is that a father and son cannot form a testimonial unit. And now you have Mar Ukva coming along in the name of Shmuel saying halacha follows Rav Shimon. So we'll say, you'll see there's a little aleph there that takes you to the Hagos Vitziyunim. So others say there's a mistake in this Gemara, and it's supposed to say, Ain Hilchasak Rav Shimon. That again, that bottom line, the halacha does not follow Rav Shimon, the halacha follows the Tanakhama, namely, that if a father and son observe the new moon, we encourage them to go ahead and go to the basement to testify, but again, they may not form a testimonial unit. The halacha does not follow Rav Shimon, instead, the halacha follows the Tanakhama, says the Mishnah. Elohim Absur, well, so this is a fascinating Mishnah on multiple levels. These are the individuals who are puzzle for Eidos. They may not go ahead and give Eidos HaKadosh. Now, we'll say, there is a similar Mishnah that also appears, you can see over here, the quotes over here in Baba Basra, also something similar in Sanhedrin, that this is not just by Kiddush HaKadosh. Many of these individuals may not give testimony in other areas of halacha as well. Here, we're not concerned with other areas of halacha. Here, we're only concerned with Kiddush HaKadosh. Listen to this. So, these are the people who Eidos HaKadosh, these are the people that may not give Eidos HaKadosh. Who are they? Hamesachik b'kuvya. I will say somebody who plays kuvya are dice, a gambler. So Rashi says over here, kuvya chatichos shel etzem. They used to make their dice out of bone. Shemesachikin be'eravon. But Omer Rabbanan, suppose say, what's wrong with a gambler? What's wrong with a guy who plays with dice? So the Gemara says, Avamer Rabbanan asmachta lo kanya Vaharihin gazlonin midrabanan, because Rabbah said they are considered to be rabbinic thieves. The midoraisa in okari gazlon elachot if miyad ish kidichsiv vaigzal sacharas miyad amitzvah. Rabbah, listen to this. A biblical thief is someone who goes and actively takes something. A rabbinic thief is someone who takes money from someone in a way that's not appropriate. Now, I will say, what's wrong with gambling? So there are many things wrong with gambling. For example, the Gemara brings down that a gambler does not contribute anything positive to society, meaning the fact that there's an additional channel on cable, called the poker channel or whatever, that is not called contributing. I heard, Ari told me. Yeah. Right, so there's channel 1722. Right, so that's not called contributing to society. So again, everybody has to contribute to society. So whether you're an accountant, a lawyer, a doctor, a garbage man, whatever you're gonna do, you have to do something positive. The Masachik Pokovia does nothing positive, but here Rashi points out something different. Rashi points out that there's a concept of asmachta lo kanya. Asmachta lo kanya means almost like this. When people sit down to gamble, so what happens? No one approaches gambling by saying, you know what, I don't care if I win or if I lose. Even if people say that, so Rashi says, they don't really mean it. Everybody wants to win. And therefore the mice, again, when they lose, they give that money begrudgingly. When they give that money begrudgingly, Rashi says, that is rabbinic theft. The person who wins ultimately is taking money from people that they are not really ready to part with, that they're not really mekabel, that they should have to or want to give. And therefore, again, that's called rabbinic theft. Okay. Similarly, melavi beribis, those who lend with interest. Now, we'll say, obviously, lending with interest is a biblical prohibition. But again, it doesn't make you a biblical thief because you're not actively stealing money. At the end of the day, the borrower agreed to the terms, but it makes you a rabbinic thief. Mafriche yonim. So mafriche yonim are dove racers. Dove racers, again, I can't imagine how much excitement that generates, but apparently it did, right? So again, so dove racers, so it's the same idea as the gambling. Mafriche yonim. Rashi says over here, hainu nami kein kuvyo, itaktimi yonech liyoni. If my dove comes in before your dove. So it's gambling again, therefore, again, rabbinic thief. Sochri shvius, those who go ahead and do commerce, who engage in commerce with Shemitah produce. Rabosai, again, remember, Lemaisa, one is not permitted to go ahead and engage in commerce in Shemitah produce. Va'avodim, and servants. Rabosai, again, obviously servants don't fit into the rest of this category. Rashi points out of here, Psuli da'araisahu kavachor me'isha. So the truth is, these are servants. Servants are biblically prohibited from giving testimony. So again, in the first category of individuals who are either engaging in inappropriate business practices or are rabbinic thieves, therefore, again, that points to a certain lack of honesty on their part. Avodim are going to be puzzled for a totally different reason. Zehaklav, this is the rule. Kol edo sheina isha ksherelo, any testimony that a woman cannot give, af hein einon ksherelo. All these individuals may not give as well. Says the Gemara, ha'isha ksherelo. So therefore we can infer from that if a woman were permitted to give a certain type of testimony, af hein ksherelo, you're then telling me that these individuals would be able to give that same kind of testimony as well. So Rashi points out over here, ha'isha ksherelo, kigon, la'ha'id al misas adam, la'hasi es ishto, va'al sota shnitma bistira. So we know that there are certain cases that a woman is permitted to give testimony. For example, a woman is permitted to say, I saw that Rachel's husband died. Right? Let's say a woman doesn't know where her husband is, she's an aguna. So what happens? We relax the standards for testimony in that case because lemaisa, again, we want to try to prevent aguna situations. So even one woman is permitted to go and come to Beis Din and say, I know that Rachel's husband died. And the truth is, based on that testimony, we would allow Rachel to actually go ahead and remarry. Or again, Isha Sot, actually this week's parsha, if a man were to suspect his wife of adultery, and a woman shows up and says, it's not just a suspicion, I saw her commit adultery. Obviously, you can't put someone to death based on that, but we would not allow her to drink the salt, the waters, with that level of testimony. So just two examples. So Rashi says over here, therefore, what you're telling me is, any testimony that a woman could give, these individuals listed in the Mishnah could give as well. Ravashi Zosomeres, this teaches us, Gazlin de Divrehem, teaches us that, again, Rabosai, that somebody who is suspected of rabbinic theft or rabbinic thief is not possible from all testimony, just possible from what we'll call normative testimony. But any testimony that a woman could give, these individuals could give as well. Mishnah. So someone also is actually an interesting Talmudic anomaly here. You have a Mishnah with no Gemara. So again, just... It's exciting. So it says the Mishnah, Mishara Sachodesh, Vena Yachal Halech, somebody who saw the new moon, but is unable to make the trip to Yerushalayim. So what happens? Molichin Oso Ala Chomer. We put him on a donkey and we lead him. Afilu Bamita, or even on a bed and we take him. Rabbosai, now the chiddush over here of this Mishnah is, we learn the dispensation for the person who sees the new moon to travel. Now what we're saying is what? That there's even a dispensation for others to transport him to the Beis HaMikdash. You can even put him on an animal and lead the animal. You can even carry him in a bed if you need to. And if again, if there's danger on the road, they could take clubs, they could take weapons with them. And if it's a long trip, they could take food, they could pack up food for the trip. I'm sorry, this is all Shabbos, correct. Because of us, I can remember, this is also very important. How far, what's the limit from which you would travel for Shabbos? Because of us, again, obviously, the only time you'll be Mechal Shabbos to try to get to the Beis Din is when you can make it to the Beis Din while it's still Shabbos day. Obviously, for example, if you live a 2-day journey from Beis Din, and you see the moon on Friday night, you're not going. You're not going. Why? Because the mice, again, by the time you get there anyway, Beis Din will already have established the Chodesh. Because remember, again, the earliest you're seeing the moon is going to be on day 30. On day 30. Because remember, a month is either 30 or 29 or 30 days. So if you're 2 days away, somebody's going to get there before you. So the idea of the Mishnah says, the only thing you can do Mechal Shabbos is if, let's say, it would only take you a night and a day to get to Yerushalayim. So if you can get to Yerushalayim sometime during Shabbos day, you're Mechal Shabbos. Shene Emar, Eile Moadei Hashem, Asher Tikru Osam B'Moadam. We saw this passage yesterday, because the passage says, these are the appointed times of Hashem, and you shall call them, you shall declare them in their appointed times. Because the Torah is very emphatic on appointing the appointed times, Rosh Chodesh, at its appointed time, at its specific time, therefore permitted to be Mechal Shabbos, and not just the person who saw it, but even those needed to go ahead and get the person to the Yerushalayim destination. Hadron Aloch Arba Rosh Hashanah. In Einon Makirin also, I will say again, now we're talking about the witness. If let's say Beis Din does not recognize it, so we'll say, understand, this is something very interesting. Person walks into Beis Din and they say, I saw the new moon. And let's say all the information checks out. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? Is he Jewish? Is he not Jewish? You know, is he a thief? Is he not a thief? So how do you know who he is? So in the Makirinos, if the Beis Din does not recognize this individual, Mishalchin Imo Acher Lahaido, they would send someone else who the Beis Din did know as a character witness for this individual. In the beginning, they used to accept Eidos HaChodesh from every single person. Mishakilkel HaBaitusim. But when the Baitusim started causing trouble, I will say, remember, the Baitusim were a sect who did not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. They did not believe in the oral tradition. Now, they always tried to mess up Kiddush HaKodesh for a variety of reasons, most notably because they always wanted to make sure that Pesach fell out on a Shabbos, and that the second day Pesach fell out on a Sunday, because they had a literal interpretation of Mimacharas HaShabbos. So, but nevertheless, they always tried to mess with the calendar. Hiskinu Shalayu Mekablin Elamina Makina. So once the Baitusim tried to undermine the system of Kiddush HaKodesh, there was a fear that they would send false witnesses, and therefore the rabbis legislated that no one could, that in order for your testimony to be accepted, Beis Din has to know who you are. Beis Din has to know who you are, and if they don't know who you are, there needs to be a character witness that comes with you. So the Gemara says, my acher.
The first part of the Mishnah is for the Baitusim?
Correct. First part of the Mishnah is Eina Makirino. No. In Eina Makirino, so Mishalchin Imo Acher La'ido. That's after the Baitusim. So then the mission is just contrasting, because Barishon in the beginning, they would accept without. Now you need. My Acher, what does it mean Acher? So now again, remember, what did the Mishnah say? If the Beis Din would not know who this person is, they send Acher. Now Acher sounds like someone else, individual, to go ahead and serve as a character witness. My Acher, Chad. It sounds like they send one other person to serve as a character witness. So the Gemara says, V'chad mi mehemen. But could that be? Would we believe one person to serve as a character witness? V'hatanya, but we learned, Maise shebahu ve'edav imo l'ha'idalov. I will say there was an episode where what happened, that who, an individual, and his witnesses came along to testify about him. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here, again, the Gemara is just describing a nondescript episode, but the idea is, when it says they send someone else, what they really mean is what? They send another set of witnesses. Remember, in halacha, no matter what kind of, not no matter what kind, but even to be a character witness, you still need two witnesses. You need two witnesses to say this guy is kasher v'yashar. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, Amar Papa, my acher. What does it mean when they say they sent, when the Mishnah says they send another? Zug acher. It means they send another set of witnesses to serve as a set of character witnesses for the witness who's showing up. Hachanami mistaber. This must be true. De'ilot he'machi. If you don't say this, im einon makirin oso. The Mishnah says, if we don't recognize him. Now, what is my oso? Ilema oso chad. If you want to say it refers to the one witness, that can't be. The chad mi mehemin is one witness believed by Kiddush HaChodesh. Mishpat ksiv bei. It says mishpat by Kiddush HaChodesh. Elamai oso. Rather, what does oso mean? Oso hazug. So oso means the pair. Hachanami my acher. So too, what does it mean when it says they send someone else? Zug acher. It means another pair. So therefore, both say, what comes out over here is when the Mishnah says that we send an acher, we send another to serve as a character witness. What it really means is we send a set of two witnesses, a testimonial unit, to serve as character witnesses for the group who is coming to go ahead and give over Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, obviously, you don't need the same two people to testify for each witness. You can have two sets of character witnesses. One set for each of the two witnesses for Kiddush HaChodesh. But the idea is each person requires two witnesses. So the Gemara goes right there. So the Gemara says, V'chad lo mehemen. Is that true that one witness is not believed? V'hatanya, we learned, Ma'ase v'rebi nehoroi, Shahalach eitzel ha'id l'ha'id alav b'shabes b'usha. So both said there was a story with Rabbi Nehoroi. And Rabbi Nehoroi, this is actually very interesting. Rabbi Nehoroi himself did not see the moon. But Rabbi Nehoroi was going to serve as a character witness for another guy who did see the moon in Usha. Rabbi Osai, this is talking about, Rashi points out, this is when the Sanhedrin moved to Usha. Remember, during Second Temple era, so the Sanhedrin made a number of different relocations. One of the places they went was Usha. So therefore, again, Rabbi Nehoroi goes to Usha to go ahead and serve as a character witness for individuals going to testify about the new moon. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Osai, what do you see from here? You see from here that one witness is believed. So Amri Rabbi Nehoroi, Sahada Achrina Havabadeh. No, it's not true. When Rabbi Nehoroi went, he actually had another guy with him, another witness with him. So they're going to be a testimonial unit of two witnesses. So why isn't he mentioned? Vahadalo Chashiv Leimishum Kvodosh Rabbi Nehoroi. So I'll say, interestingly enough, the other guy is not mentioned. Why? Because it was Rabbi Nehoroi. Because once you're mentioning Rabbi Nehoroi, again, it's not Bakavadit Rabbi Nehoroi went, oh, and so did Frank. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to mention Frank when you're dealing with Rabbi Nehoroi. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Rav Ashi says no. Rabbi Nehoroi Sahada Achrina Hava Ba'usha. So the Rav Ashi has another interpretation. He says Rabbi Nehoroi, in fact, there was another witness in Usha. So the reason it doesn't mention the other witness is why, Rabbi Osai? Because Lamaisa, the other witness, was already in Usha. So Rabbi Nehoroi went, and he knew that there was another guy in Usha who could also serve as a character witness for the people that were going to give Kiddush HaChodesh. Therefore, the other guy is not mentioned with Rabbi Nehoroi because he's already in Usha. Ihachi Maila Memra. If that's the case, then why do you even have to state this? Meaning, Rabbi Osai, why do they need to tell me that Rabbi Nehoroi went on Shabbos to go ahead and combine with another guy who was already in Usha to serve as a character witness for the witnesses in Usha? Isn't that obvious? You already learned that you can go to be Mechal Shabbos even to be the character witness. What would you have thought? Misfeik Allah Mechal Alin and Shabsa. I might have thought that Misfeik Rabosai, out of doubt, perhaps again, you should not go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos. Rabosai, what's the doubt? So Rabbi Nehoroi knows that there's another guy in Usha who also could serve as a character witness. What doesn't Rabbi Nehoroi know? Rabbi Nehoroi doesn't know. Maybe he's not home for Shabbos. So maybe Rabbi Nehoroi is going to travel outside of the Tchum, get to Usha to serve as a character witness. And what's going to happen? The guy's not there. So I might have thought that maybe out of Suffolk, we would tell Rabbi Nehoroi, don't be Mechal Shabbos, Kamash Malon, no. Kamash on the Kiddush HaChodesh is too important that even out of Suffolk, that you could be a character witness, you still have to be Mechal Shabbos. Ki asa Ula Amar, when Ula came along, he said, Kidshua liyarchava ma'arava. When Ula came along, he said this, when Ula came to Babel, he said they declared the new month in Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rav Kahana, lo mi boy Ula de gavar rabahu de mehemen. So again, it's not, obviously if Ula tells us that they declared the new month, of course we're going to believe him. But it's not just Ula. Ela afilu inish ta'alma nami mehemen. But Rabosa, even if Stam a person would show up and tell us that they declared the new month in Eretz Yisrael, we would believe him. You know why? Well, this is very interesting. My time, this is a klal gadol. Klal gadol is people don't lie about things that will be easily found out. Meaning, when do people lie? Right? When do people lie? People lie when they feel that they can get away with it. Normal people, don't lie about things that are going to become public knowledge relatively quickly. So at some point in time, everybody's going to know when they were Mekadish the Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, again, if somebody comes along and tells us they were Mekadish the Chodesh on day number 30, so even if it's not a person like Ula, we still believe them. Why? Because again, it's what we call a Milsa da Avida Lagluye. It's a matter that is going to become revealed. And when it comes to a matter that's going to become revealed, we believe people. It's true.
It's not kid for Kiddush HaKodesh, you need to be Mekadosh HaKodesh.
Correct. Not for Shulchan. Shulchan could be one. So the Gemara, that's exactly this point. Because Shlichos, again, is not a din in Eidos. Shlichos is a din in dissemination of information. So the Gemara says, Tayin HaYachri writes that supports this. Bo Echad B'Sof HaOlam V'Amar Kiddushu Bezin HaKodesh. If somebody comes from the other side of the world and tells us that Bezin was Mekadosh HaKodesh, Ne'eman. Ultimately, again, he is believed. Says the Gemara. So again, we're just pointing out just different ideas over here. So again, obviously, for Kiddush HaChodesh itself, as well as for character witnesses for Kiddush HaChodesh, that you need two. For dissemination of information, to inform people about the new month, that you only need one. And for that individual, it doesn't have to be an Ula-like individual either. Why? Because the halachic assumption is people tell the truth about matters that are going to become revealed. And therefore, again, by definition, they're taken at their word. Says the Gemara. In the beginning, remember, they used to accept the testimony about Kiddush HaKodesh from everyone. But then it says when the Baitusim started messing things up, they required character witnesses. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Ma kilkulu Baitusim. What did the Baitusim do? How did they try to mess up the systems? Listen to this. So the Gemara says, "Pam achos bikshu baitusim lahatlos asachachamim." One time, the baitusim wanted to go out and mess up the chachamim and get them to declare the wrong chodesh. So what did they do? Not to declare the wrong chodesh, but to declare it at the wrong time. Sachru shnei bnei adam bedal neosus. They hired two witnesses for 400 zuz, 200 zuz each. Echad mishalano veechad mishalahem. One was ours. A deep cover from Jew, right? He was he infiltrated the Baitusi ranks, and they thought he was one of theirs, but he was really one of ours. And one of them was one of theirs. So there was a real dedicated Baitusi and a deep cover Jew. And what happened? Heyed eduso. So what happens? They come before the Beis Din, and the first guy comes in. The Baitusi guy comes in, gives his testimony, gets off without a hitch. He gives it. They're ready to accept it. Wonderful. And what happens? And viyatsa mishahira do so. Viyatsa shalanu amrulo. Amrulo kitsa reisa salavana. So then our guy walks in, and what happens? The basin asks him to tell us how did the Levana look to you? Amrulahem, first wide line. Domela egel hayisi, excuse me. Amrulahem, he said to them the following. Amrulahem, ola hayisi b'ma'ale adumim. I was going up in ma'ale adumim. So I'll say ma'ale adumim is probably not today what Ma'ale Adumim is, but okay. In any event, I was going to Ma'ale Adumim. V'ra'isiv shahayu ravutz ben beis sloim. And I saw the moon was crouched between two stones. Rosho domel le'egel, its head looked like a calf. Eznav domel le'gdi, its ears looked like a kid. Karnav domos le'tzvi, its horns looked like a deer. Usnavo menachas lo ben yirakosav, and its tail was resting between its legs. V'tzatzdibo, and I stared at. V'nirsa'ati, and I was startled, and I fell back. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, I have 200 zuz in my pocket to prove that I'm right. So he'll say, he was trying to tell them, I'm lying to you, and I was bribed to say everything that I just said. Who told you to do this? I heard that the Baitusim We're hatching a plan to go ahead and derail the Kiddush HaChodesh process. And I said to myself, you know what? I will come. Let me volunteer for this position so that I could tell you exactly what's going on. Because maybe someone else will take the job and they could actually deceive. Because remember, Rabosai, the first guy did a good job and he deceived. He deceived the Beis Din. So the rabbi said to him, first of all, again, keep the 200 zuz. Keep the 200 zuz that you got. And the guy who hired you, we're going to track him down. Literally, yimatech ala amud means we're going to stretch him out on the pillar, which means we're going to flog him. We're going to flog him. But at that moment, in that moment, they decreed that they would only accept testimony from people whom they knew. Meaning they realized at this point they were so close to ultimately declaring the Chodesh at the wrong time. They decreed only accept testimony from people who we know. Says the Mishnah. In the beginning, how would they get word out to the desk? So remember, again, this is after they were Mekadesh to Chodesh, after they already went ahead and declared the new month. So what happened? They would go ahead and they would light bonfires. Mishi, and we'll discuss that process just a little bit. Rashi says, "V'rishon ha'yu masim asulos la'achar shekitchu ha'chodesh v'lo ha'yu tzrichim liskor shluchim l'shloach l'gola l'hodia ki ha'masos modi alem." So Rabbi saying, this is before they sent out messengers. Remember, originally they wouldn't send out messengers. Originally they would accept testimony and they would light a series of bonfires. And those bonfires would inform even far-lying communities about the declaration of the new month. What happened? Mishakilkalu akusim, when the kusim started causing problems and they started lighting their own bonfires, not at the right time. So what happened? So I'm sorry. Hiskinu shluchin yotzin. They decreed that messengers should go out to the diaspora communities. So Moshe Rashi points out over here. If you look at Rashi, mishkilkal akusim v'yisiu gam hu masos shelo bezman hachodesh lahatos yisrael ubeizin lo hayu masiyin masuos ela bechodesh shiniskadish biyom lamid. The Rabbi said, we will see this later on, that Lamaisa, the only time Beis Din lit fires was when the Chodesh was a chaser, when it was a 29-day month, and Rosh Chodesh was on day 30. That's the only time they lit the bonfires. Because if it was a 30-day month, they did nothing. By doing nothing, that showed what? That it was a 30-day month, and that Rosh Chodesh was day 31. So what would so obviously, you can see how the Baitusim could cause problems. Because even on a month that was going to be 30 days, the Baitus, or 31 days, or no, sorry, 30 days, the Baitusim could have gone ahead and what? Lit a fire on the night of night 30, thereby getting people to think that it was a 29-day month. So when the rabbis saw that the Baitusim already were playing with the bonfire system, they switched from the bonfire system and went to a shluchim system and dispatched messengers. The chap with the messengers, by the way, is we'll see later on that the messengers would actually go with an official letter from the Beis Din indicating who they were, because obviously Baitusim could send their own messengers also. So the messengers went with an official shtempel of Beis Din, and that's how they were able to establish their credentials. Ketzad, hayu masiyin masuos. So we'll say, how were they able to go ahead and, how did they make the bonfires? Mevi'in klunso shel erez, they would take poles of cedar wood, aruchin, long ones, vikanim, reeds, va'atzei shemen, balsam wood, vinu oros, and combings of fine flax, v'korich b'meshicha, and they would wrap it around the top of the cedar pole with strings. Va'olero shahar, they would go up to the top of the mountain. Umeitzis pohena sa'or, they would light the fire. Umolich umevi uma'ale umor, and we'll say they would wave it back and forth and up and down. Atshuras chaveiro shu osakein berosha harasheni, until he would see his friend on the next mountain doing the same. V'chein berosha harashlishi. And this would happen, I will say, mountain to mountain to mountain. So the guys would wave the torches until they saw that the guy on the next mountain was waving the torches as well. Now, obviously, I will say there were specific mountains on which they did it. So where would they do it? It would begin at Hara Mishcha. I will say Hara Mishcha is Hara Zayis. Right, Tarzaisim. So right outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So they would start Hara Mishcha, then they would go to Sartava the Grufina the Choron the Beis Baltin, Lozazu Misham. So Beis Baltin, Rabbi said, was the last official mountain on the bonfire stop. And what would happen? Ela molech umevi molech umevi umalo morid ad shruas kolagol afana kimidura seish. And both say from base Baltin, what would happen? The guy there would just keep on waving it back and forth and up and down until again he would see that literally, this must have been a beautiful sight, the entire diaspora was lit up in front of him like one big bonfire. The idea is that from base Baltin and on, they did not have officially designated mountains, but what would happen? It would catch on, people would see it, and people would light their own fires until ultimately, again, it was signaled to the entire diaspora. And Rashi points out over here, obviously, entire diaspora does not mean everybody. Rashi says it refers Dafka to Pumbedisa. So Pumbedisa, of course, was the major hub of Babylonian Jewry. So word would reach all the way until Pumbedisa about the declaration of the new month. All right, the website will stop over here. Meretz Hashem, we'll pick up with the Gemara tomorrow.
What is that?
Biblical email. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
If one of the Aiden wasn't known and one of the other, watch yourself.
Careful.